translation. Sri Maitreya said, "Thus, when Kardama Muni, the progenitor of human society, was spoken to in fullness by his son, Kapila, he circumambulated him and with a good, pacified mind, he at once left for the forest." Purport. Going to the forest is compulsory for everyone. It is not a mental excursion upon which one person goes and another does not. Everyone should go to the forest at least as a vanaprastha. Forest going means to take 100% shelter of the Supreme Lord, as explained by Prahlad Maharaj in his talks with his father. What did he say in this regard? Vanam gato yadharim ashrayeta. That's exactly, but somehow or other the quote is here. Sama samudvigna dhyam. I think they must have left. This is one of the jobs for you, huh? Looks like they left out part of the verse there, because naturally it should be. Prabhupada says here, forest going means to take 100% shelter of the Supreme Lord, as explained by Prahlad Maharaj in his talks with his father. So that should be Vanangato Yadharim Ashrayata. I'll just make a note and send that. Vanangato Yadharim. Okay, and then they quote from Prahlad. They means Prabhupada. What often happens is Prabhupada was dictating, and somehow in between the dictation and the transcription and the editing and the production, things got lost. Sometimes happened, or mixed up. So, sadasamadvigna dhyam. People who have accepted a temporary material body are always full of anxieties. One should not therefore be very much affected by this material body, but should try to be freed. The preliminary process to become freed is to go to the forest or to give up family relationships and exclusively engage in Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of going to the forest. Otherwise, the forest is only a place of monkeys and wild animals. To go to the forest does not mean to become a monkey or a ferocious animal. It means to accept exclusively the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage oneself in full service. One does not actually have to go to the forest. At the present moment, this is not at all advisable for a man who has spent his life all along in big cities. As explained by Prahlad Maharaj, Hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam. One should not remain always engaged in the responsibilities of family life, because family life without Krishna consciousness is just like a blind well. Alone in a field, if one falls into a blind well and no one is there to save him, he may cry for years and no one will see or hear where the crying is coming from. Death is sure. Similarly, those who are forgetful of their eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord are in the blind well of family life. Their position is very ominous. Do you know what ominous means? It means danger up ahead. Danger is coming. Looks like a bad situation in the future. Prahlad Maharaj advised that one should give up this well somehow or other and take to Krishna consciousness and thus be freed from material entanglement, which is full of happiness, anxieties. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atafparakamalam Shri Guru Navaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Purijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhi Vrindavanishwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Harika Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Remind me at the end, otherwise I'll forget. Well, looks like the arrangement of the Lord that yesterday, as we were listening to Prabhupada's class, towards the end of the class, Prabhupada was again and again quoting Hridaya Granti Bhedanam. One has to cut the knot on the heart. What is the Hridaya Granti explained in Srimad Bhagavatam? Pungsastriya Mituni Bhavametam Tayoraho Hridaya Granti Mahuhu. The attraction between male and female is the binding force in material existence, which forms a hard knot of attachment within the heart. So Prabhupada was repeatedly quoting this, that one has to cut this attachment. And at the end of the class, I noted to Suradas Prabhu and Devakinandan Prabhu, who were there, that actually within our society, this is not very popular preaching, because this, you quoted this, this Prabhupada is saying here, Prabhupada often quoted, Panchas Orvang Banang Rajit. At the age of 50 or above 50, one should go to the forest. So I was saying there's not very popular preaching in our society, because in the West there are plenty of divorce cases, just, you know, husband leaves the wife or wife leaves the husband, but specifically this is family planning. You have a family, have your children, and then you aim to, Krishna willing, if one lives that long, that by the age of 50 one should have one's children settled. And then one should enter into vanaprastha life. So I was saying that at least for those of our devotees who are accepting spiritual leadership roles, especially gurus who are grihasthas, it would seem to be a better example if they're older and their children are settled, then they're not still with their wives. Now for those who have been engaged in more or less secular activities throughout their lives, for them at the age of 50 to, because there are two types of vanaprastha life, that one is that one lives more or less with one's wife but gives up the family involvement in family life, and with one's aged wife one executes spiritual activities. And the other type is that one becomes detached, you know, and it means not living with one's wife. That's the first stage of, there are various stages of sannyas. Kutijak, Bahudak, Parivrajak, Paramahamsa. But the point is that one should increase, one should, family life means, generally that means that there is some, generally or always we can say, it's some material attachment is there, so one should work on becoming free from that. So if one's been living in secular life, that means, in modern life, that means having a job or being what they call a normal person. Then for one to accept the vanaprastha stage of living with one's wife and traveling to different holy places or engaging full-time in preaching Krishna consciousness, that's a step forward. But for one who's been living as a sadhu with his wife, grihastha sadhu, then in pursuance of what Srila Prabhupada is, at least those who are followers of Prabhupada should consider very seriously that Prabhupada is, he stressed this point again and again, that at the age of 50 one should become detached. One should work seriously on becoming detached from material attachments. Prabhupada was radical in this regard in his own life. At about the age of 50, a little bit more, he more or less gave up his family life. He didn't announce anything to anyone, but he just went and lived in Vrindavan, and he didn't fully give up contact. His son Vrindavan came and lived with him for some time. There was some contact, but he didn't go back home again, and he took sannyas. He was very radical. Even people criticized, of course everyone criticizes everything, but he gave sannyas to young men, and which in retrospect it seemed impossible. How can this young man with coming from such a bhogi kind of background, how can he maintain throughout his life? But Prabhupada, he gave sannyas in the hope that they could understand what is the importance of Krishna consciousness and go through with it. Nowadays we're very cautious in our society in giving sannyas. It's very difficult, actually. If anyone wants to take sannyas within our society, they're very cautious. But Prabhupada was pushing like that, that you come, you renounce. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very strongly pushing that also, that even grihasthas, if they were ready, he would say, all right, just come and live in the mud. Never mind your family, we'll send something to them. But he was very much promoting this, that human life is meant for God realization. And God realization and material attachment don't go on very well side by side. So come out. Now, certain people criticized him for that. The so-called followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who Bhaktivinoda Thakur had written that it's better that everyone execute Krishna consciousness in household life. And Bhaktisiddhanta, and he criticized setting up mutts. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrenched people out of household life. And he established so many mutts. So people criticized, you're not following Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the greatest follower of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He understood his purpose. And practically that was seen that, although in general it might be better for people, that's a safer position to execute Krishna consciousness in family life, but if one can get the association of Mahabhagavat, and like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but there's no one like him, but it's the use of language, we say, so if you can get an association of a Mahabhagavat in the category of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then if one can take that association, then even that which is considered very difficult, that was considered very difficult for Bhishma. That's why his name is Bhishma, because he made such a vow. That was difficult. In the time of Bhishma, there was no pornography, there were no women walking around in miniskirts. The society was very controlled. And even for him then it was considered very difficult. Of course he was a king's son. And a king is expected to be very much rajaguni. A king's son will not be expected in his youth to enter into a renounced mode of life. But it gives some idea. It's a great vrata, deva vrata. Even the devas, they don't follow such a vrata. So it's greater. So what is the point? Should one be renounced, or one can execute Krishna consciousness either in family life or in renounced life? The point is to be Krishna conscious. As we often say, it doesn't really matter whether one's in family life or in renounced life, because it's much better to be in family life and be a devotee than to be highly renounced and not be a devotee. And even a neophyte devotee in the Grihastha ashram is much better situated than a very strict and apparently Brahman realized Mayavadi sannyasi. Because even though he may be in many ways more materially attached than the Mayavadi sannyasi, but the real point is attachment to Krishna, that at least it started to be developed. He's on the right path. The Mayavadi is gone a long way, but he's climbing up the wrong mountain. Whereas the neophyte devotee, he hasn't gone very far, but at least he's going up the right mountain. Then, again comes the question, then why did Srila Prabhupada stress this so much? No, it's not just Prabhupada's idea. He is again and again quoting from Shastra, Andhakupam. These words are there in Shastra. The blind well of family life. Well, we may say that, well, devotee family life, that's not a blind well. Well, it's still a well, maybe not so blind. So, the point is that, what is this idea of a blind well? It's something that you fall into. You're not aware all of a sudden. You think everything's very nice, and all of a sudden, boom, you're down in the deep darkness, and it's very difficult to come out. That blind well, the idea is that a well has been there previously. Sometimes I used to see in my travels in India and Bangladesh and Burma, all these countries, that there'll be someone has dug a well, but you can hardly see it because there's just the ground and a hole. There's nothing. Usually they have something up, some wall perimeter around it, so you can pull the buckets over the edge. But sometimes it's just level with the earth. So it's just there, one hole. So if that well becomes disused, and then the whole area becomes overgrown, and you happen to be walking in that area, then you could fall right down. It can happen. So that's the example of the blind well. And once you fall, generally a blind well will be in an overgrown, jungly kind of area. So if you fall in, then you can shout and no one will come. So family life is considered like that. Now again, if one is Krishna conscious, then family life, actually that's often recommended. That people should enter family life because they're not fit for renunciation. They're not going to lead a renounced mode of life. So let them practice Krishna consciousness in grihastha life. But at the same time, it should be understood that these attachments that develop, they are antithetical to the purpose of life, which is becoming fully attached to Krishna. Prabhupada noted in one purport that even a sannyasi can be attached to his kopin, kamandalu, all this kind of, it doesn't have much, but you can be attached to that. can be attached to praise and position. That's very dangerous. That's more dangerous. If one is attached to being praised and respected, because that means one is trying to take the position of Bhagawan, who is to be praised and respected. But as Prabhupada pointed out in that purport, the attachments of family life, they are generally much more, and they run much deeper. So the whole point is to prepare for leaving the body. And whatever we think of at the time of death, that will affect our next birth. So what we think of depends on what we're most attached to. And we may do sadhana, but if our deep in our heart, our attachment is more for our family members, which is often the case, then we'll have to be born again because we've got material attachments. There was one devotee, this story came in the Back to Godhead magazine some years ago. He was driving a jeep in the Ghat area of Dakshin Kannada, remote jungle area, when all of a sudden he was going around a curve with a high fall and he lost control and rolled over the edge. He didn't die, amazingly enough, as he rolled out. The jeep was finished. The police told, there are many such accidents here. People say there's one bhoot who throws people off. Anyway, that's not the point of this anecdote. The point, he lived to tell the tale. And he's still there, living in Mayapur now, Samba Prabhu. But as he tumbled down, he said that, I was thinking of my wife and child. What will they do? Now I'm going to die. Now he made the point that I've been doing sadhana for, let me see, that time must have been over 25 years. Every day getting up in the morning, chanting Hare Krishna. He's a good, strict devotee. But still, despite cultivating attachment to Krishna, chanting Hare Krishna means cultivating attachment to Krishna. But still, in the core of his heart, that was tested. Prabhupada sometimes used to quote that, sadhan kara, bhajan kara, marte janleho. At the time of death, all our sadhana and bhajan, everything will be tested. What to speak, even, of course this was many years ago, this was 1970s, one sannyasi. That's Trivikram Swami. He must have been sannyasi at that time for about, I don't know, 7-8 years. But he was an older man compared to most of us, even at that time. Now he's, I don't know, he must be 65. He still jumps around like a young boy in the kirtan. Anyway, he told that early in the morning they were driving in a taxi in Delhi. And in those days, 1970s, there were hardly any street lights in the whole of India. And even if there were one or two, they didn't work. So it was very dark early morning in Delhi, and they were driving along. And all of a sudden they saw right in front of them, coming right into their face, one truck, which was driving along without any lights on. And they were driving along and the truck was coming right at them, and they were just about to hit when a member of that party called out, Jesus, Joseph, Mary. And at that point, the mystic power which the auto rickshaw wallahs and all the drivers in India have, that they're driving right at each other, and at the last minute they just somehow or other miss each other by half a millimeter. So that happens. Of course, sometimes it doesn't work, and then, you know, there's a big mess on the road. Quite often, actually. so many traffic accidents here. So anyway, they missed. And then, actually what was happening, they were going along chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Then just when they were about to hit, he called out, Jesus, Joseph, Mary. And they went on. And everyone was quiet, and he said, well, I never said that for at least 15 years. But he used to say it in his childhood. And just when it looked like he was going to die, again it came. How deep are the thoughts in our consciousness? How are we going to remember Krishna at the time of death? We have to make some program. Well, our regular program is rising early, chanting the holy names, engaging in the bhajana kriya. But there are some other things also in the older part of life. Of course, you don't know. Never know when death is going to come. But we can make a tentative plan that in our oldest, elderly stage of life, we can go to the holy dham, which is very powerful, the effect of the holy dham. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, this is one you didn't get yet, Guru Krishna Prabhu. I'm still to give this to you. That he was apparently banished from Puri in his youth. It means he was, mid-30s, something like this, according to material calculation. So in Puri, Puri Dham, he was so much against this Nitai Gaur Radhe Sham chanting that was becoming very popular. He used to catch people on the street and shake them. And he was quite aggressive. So people were becoming upset, especially the followers of that upper sampradaya. They wanted to kill him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur told that you better go to Mayapur and look after the jogpit there. Actually, he wanted someone to go. So it looked like he banished him or sent him away. But then later on, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that I used to think that I would conquer everyone with my knowledge and my strength of character and my morality. But then one great personality, namely Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he sent me to the dham and engaged me in the service of the deity. And then I, after doing this for some time, then I realized what is the value of the dham. That by my own strength of character, my own learning, I cannot do anything. But by the mercy of the dham, one can gain strength. He sat in the dham for over 9 years, chanting the holy names and serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the jogpit. So this, the value of the dham, the power of the dham, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted that also. 7 points he noted in the tale of Chota Haridas, who was, it would seem, most unreasonably banished by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forever, it seemed. That I don't want to see you again. Don't come here for some small offense. And actually he was never seen again by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that body. He left that body by drowning himself at Triveni. So one of the points that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur noted is what is the power of the dham? What is the value of the holy place? These places, they're not ordinary places. These very special places manifested on this earth. So that's one program. One can go to the dham, go to the holy dham, and take shelter of the holy dham. Because if one leaves his body in the holy dham, then he is guaranteed to go back to Godhead. Even if there's some offense, he may take birth as some turtle in Radhakund and get taken out by the municipality. It has happened recently, all the turtles were taken out. You know that? Or you can become a monkey, and to date, the monkeys are allowed to run here and there. In other countries, they wouldn't allow that. All over India, the monkeys run around all over the place, and they make quite a nuisance, actually, isn't it? Those of you who have had experience with monkeys, it looks like fun to watch them, but when they come and take your cloth from the lion and rip it all up and jump inside the room and make a big mess, then there's no... In other countries, they would just kill them. But in India, no. Because it's known that monkeys are very dear to Lord Ram and to Lord Krishna. So no one's going to disturb them, even though they disturb us so much. So one, by leaving the body within the dham, then one is guaranteed to go back to Godhead. Even if one is an offender, they have to wait one more life. Of course, if one is taking the shelter of the dham, then the dham may not give him shelter. That happens sometimes. People come to the dham, they go to Vrindavan to die, and then they're getting old and sick, they're about to leave their bodies, and their relatives take them to Delhi to the hospital, and they pass away there. There are cases like that. One can also, just like we have Subalis here, he spent all his life, at least for as long as anyone here can remember, serving Sri Sri Radha Ras Bihari. So he's taking shelter here. Because here, there's always the sound of kirtan, there's always the worship of the Lord is going on. So the same benefit of as the dham is there, if one can tune into that, one can also spend the whole day looking at the newspaper, wandering over the internet, but the proper use of this facility that Srila Prabhupada has given is to engage fully in the service of the Lord. So the point is that one has to be prepared. And although one can execute Krishna consciousness in any situation of life, the tendency is to become attached to our material situation. That's why a sannyasi, traditionally, they don't have any material situation. Well, there are different kinds of sannyasis, but they wander from here and there. They don't... And then if you're traveling, then how much can you carry? So you'll see even now, there are so many sadhus in India. They wander here and there, and they just have a kamandalu and a kambal and a few books, and they just wander here, and maybe they have shalagram, they worship also. They just wander from one holy place to another. And even maybe many of them, they smoke also bidis or something. But Prabhupada, he noted that in one writing, that even they, but still he noted that they're basically, they are spiritually minded people, and they're not attached to material. Even if they left their family life because it was just too uncomfortable, whatever it may be, that they're visiting different holy places. And wherever they go, they'll sit down every day and they'll chant some Gita part or some stotram or something like this. So that non-attachment, anasaktasya vishayam, not to be attached to material sense enjoyment, that is the point being made here, that is a prerequisite for, or it goes side by side with being attached to Krishna. If one is attached to Krishna, then automatically he should not be attached to anything else. Bhakti pareshanu bhava viraktiranyatra. Bhakti means experience of the Supreme Lord and being detached from everything else. Last night we were discussing the Puri Pandas. Very difficult to understand, because most of them, they eat fish and they they chew tobacco and banger all sorts of things they're taking, and they'll be sitting all day playing cards, and they'll harass people for money when they come, but Jagannath accepts their service, and they're attached to him. They call him bad names when he comes out on his rath. That's their spot. They all call him all bad names. They have a very brotherly relationship with Jagannath. What do they call him? They don't call him Jagannath. What do they call him? Huh? Galia. Kalia. Kalia. Okay. So, and Balabhadra? Balai. Balia. Okay. So there, of course, Puri is a very special place. You can't do, don't do that here. Don't try that here. Ramanujacharya, he was traveling all over India, and he was straightening out the deity worship in all different places. When he came to Puri, he saw everything and he thought, oh, this is too much. I'm going to have to really do something here. So he took rest that night, and he woke up the next morning in Kurmakshetram, which is 7 hours by train nowadays. He got, Jagannath gave him a good kick all the way down to Andhra Pradesh. Don't come here. Don't try and do anything here. All the rules in what they're following in Puri, it's something unusual. But still, Jagannath accepts. So that's unusual. We shouldn't try to imitate that. I mean, everywhere else the Lord accepted. So Ramanuja, he gave the rules of Archan, how the Lord is to be served according to rules and regulations. So we should follow that. All these rules and regulations are to help us to become attached to Krishna and detached from everything else. So Prabhupada was very insistent on this point. That Prabhupada writes here, going to the forest is compulsory for everyone. What is that compulsory? No one's going to come with the police when you're 50 years, on your 50th birthday, the police are not going to come to your door and say, okay, now get out, otherwise we'll arrest you. It's not legal. But Prabhupada, compulsory is, it's a very strong word. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that it is not a mental excursion upon which one person goes and another does not. He explains what compulsory means. It's not a mental excursion. Well, shall I go or shall I not go? If we have to decide whether I shall go or whether I shall not go, then no one will go. So Prabhupada is saying it's compulsory. Everyone must go. That's his kindness. Otherwise, our tendency is to become attached to our situation, which may be good at one stage of life to make us steady. That's, therefore, it's recommended that everyone get married, because the mind in youth tends to be very unsteady. So be married. But then understand that entering into grihastha life is meant for preparing to exit at some point. It's not a permanent situation. The relationships are so deep and so strong that we tend to think of it as permanent. But it's not. It will be finished very soon. So this recommendation is there, and I don't expect anyone will take this seriously, but at least it's my duty to say so, that one should come out of this. Vanangato yadharema ashrayeta. One should go to the forest. Interesting, Prabhupada says going to the forest is compulsory for everyone. Then later on in the purport he said, don't go to the forest, because in modern life no one can do so. But the point is, Yad Harim Ashrayeta, one should take shelter of Lord Hari. Otherwise, if one takes shelter of the Asat Sainya, the fallible soldiers, then one has to take birth again. So, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any questions, comments, protests? But, the word but will come now. But. Yeah, please sir. Yeah, I guess you can. David Anandamru also has his hand up, but as you have the mic and it's a long way to the back. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Could you speak into the mic? I heard, but just about. The deeper meaning, well, that's between Jagannath and Ramanuja. What does it mean to us? Maybe not that much. Like I said, it's between Jagannath and Ramanuja.
But we do pull all the time, and some people may take advantage
of this. We may do what? Sorry?
Some people may take advantage of this. That's one way you are keeping the duty. They have expressed our relationship, but I can't say anything.
Then you have to see. Bhakti has to be executed under the guidance of a guru. Otherwise, it's like Mira. It's me and Krishna and no one else. We're the only two beings in existence. That's not accepted. One has to do under the guidance. One has to execute bhakti under the guidance of an acharya, who will tell that this is not correct. If you say, special relationship with the deity, everyone has a special relationship with the deity. But don't overstep your bounds. We should know. I heard sometimes some devotee like to make a point of going on the altar without bathing, just to show that I'm on the Raga Noga platform. But that's not Raga Noga Bhakti. Raga Noga Bhakti, one should follow vidhi externally, and internally one cultivates this raga following the raga of the ragatmikas bhaktas. It's not that one deliberately breaks all the rules just to show how advanced I am. That's nonsense. Yeah. Little bit. It's a big subject.
If one gets a chance to die in Dham,
then what?
If one gets a chance to die in Dham, in the geographical area of the Dham, if one dies, if one leaves his body.
Geographically?
Yeah, Dham, the geographical area of the
Dham,
right?
Dham is not geographical. That's a misunderstanding. Dham is not part of this material world. Vrindavan is not part of UP. There's a post office called Vrindavan. There's a railway station called Vrindavan. But that's not Krishna's Vrindavan. That's how we see it. That's Maritya Buddhi. That's material way of seeing. Going to the Dham, as Prabhupada writes here, means going to the forest, means taking exclusive shelter of Krishna. So it's not that you just plonk your body in what you consider to be some geographical area, and then immediately you're making an offense. The Dham is very, being non-different from Krishna, is very kindly manifested within this material world, so that we can take shelter of the Dham, the spiritual world. But if we take it as a material place, then we're not living in the Dham, actually. If we think this is, living in the material world, we see everything as a place for our sense enjoyment. So if we go to the Dham and we think this is also a place for my sense enjoyment, then we never actually left the material world. Nowadays in Vrindavan, it's all they're building these big apartments for rich people to go in. But that's not Vrajvas. To live comfortably with the dish antenna on the roof, that's not. Hanging out at the lassi bar, that's not Vrajvas. That's not how what our acharyas have taught us. It's just making a mockery. Go to the Dham means to follow in the footsteps. Rupa Raghun, what is that? Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti Tobe Hama Bujbo Se Jugal Puriti. Vrindavan means the land of Jugal Puriti, the land of where Radha and Krishna are having their Prem Vilas. So that can be understood by one should go there and follow in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, study their books, become absorbed. How they were living in Vrindavan. Hey Radhe Rajadevike Chalalite, Hey Nandasuno Kutaha. They were calling out, Goshanta Viti Saravato Vrajapure Kedaya Mahaviva, absorbed in Krishna consciousness. That's going to the Dham, not just living there and making arrangements for comfortable life. Of course, it's not that one has to live uncomfortably, but one should be fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. One should go there to serve the Dham, not to think that this is a place for me to enjoy. Someone, what?
What would happen to such a person? The way you describe the person, you know, what kind of example. So, if some person leaves the body over there, for example, what would happen to him? He is not able to have a person.
Again, that's between the Lord and his devotees. Generally, the Dham extends his mercy to persons. That somehow or other, if they die in the Dham, then the Dham will give them shelter. That's the general understanding. One should not... What is that? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that don't bring so many materialists to Navadvip Dham to increase the weight of the Dham. Increase the weight by they'd all just come here and pass stool.
So I would like to know, like, Nityananda Prabhu is Balaram.
Ah.
So who is
Radha? Radharani. That's quite a discussion how Gadadhar is Radharani, as also Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahyanya. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nomi Krishna Surupam. So that's quite some discussion. How Radharani, how Gadadhar, who appears in Gaur Leela and is compared by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami actually to Rukmini. Whereas Jagadananda is Satyabhama. So that's quite a complex discussion. How Gadadhar, who doesn't appear to act like Radharani at all, but then he's with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that those who are worshippers of Krishna in Sakyaras, they worship Gaur Nityananda. And those who are worshipping Radha Krishna in Madhuras, then going through Gauranga, they worshippers of Gaur Gadadha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was worshipping Gaur Gadadha. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. He took over the worship at Champahati and he also installed the deities of Gaur Gadadha at the Jogpit. Is it Jogpit? Yeah, at Jogpit. Next to the Nrsimha deity. Yeah, yeah. That's his Gorgadatta deities are there. These are all these very deep topics. What are the Acharya's mode of worship? Because Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wasn't rejecting Nityananda, not by any means. He also wrote so many glorifications of Nityananda Prabhu. What is that? Nadiya Godrume Nityananda Mahajam Patiyache Namahata Jivaraka. So many. Kobe Nityananda More Kore Daya. So many. So when we get past the point of understanding we're not the body, then there are so many things for us to enter into. Once we get past anartha nivritti, we have so much artha pravritti. All these points to discuss.
And Maharaj, in this song that is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayatara Mahe, in that we see that Bhagavatam Prabhu, so he mentions of all particular places except Dharamaya. Why is that?
Why is that? Well, again, you'll have to ask Narottam. He does sing some songs to Gadadhar, some of his less well-known songs. There is another line to that song, but that Srinivasa Haridas, but I don't know where that came from. That was printed in the first edition of our ISKCON Bengali songbook and then later left out. You see, there are many, many things which need researching. And research means, for us, research means not just... There's one research scholar in Calcutta University collected hundreds of songs of Narottam Das, published in one book. We only know Prem Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana, but actually there are many, many. I have that book. So research, one thing is, one side of research is collecting materials. And the other side is understanding it. One of the famous, well, there are several famous, and in that field, they're famous, Bengali research scholars who did so much research on Gauriya Vaishnavism. One of the most famous is this Bipin Bihari Majumdar, who was living in Patna, and he wrote a book called Chaitanya Charit Upadan, in which he analyzed all the different biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and found out the similarities and the differences. But they're so mundane. Who is this? This other one. Ramakanta Chakravarti wrote in English, Vaishnavism in Bengal. So he was saying that Nityananda Prabhu, he preached among the Shubarna Bonics of Shaptagram. He said, because the Shubarna Bonic means gold merchant. So in this way he got some support, he got some financial support for his preaching. So, that's just one instance. They're very mundane outlook. So research means, for a Vaishnava, research means these things have to be considered from a holy Vaishnava perspective. Otherwise, we have to see what is the will of the Lord, how Krishna's antaranga shakti is working. Otherwise, we'll misunderstand everything. We have to see how our acharyas are teaching. Many times they teach and they act in ways which we may not understand. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so many devotees came to him and said, "Oh, this manager, we're collecting so much money. He's stealing it all. He's stealing so much money. We don't want to collect anymore." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati chastised him. He said, What have you come here for? For politics or for bhajan? You just do your bhajan, that's all." They had good reason to complain, but he didn't accept it. And that was the cause of the... And then another sannyasi came to him and he wrote a letter saying that in the future, this will be the future history of the Gauriya Math. and it was how it would all split up and everything. And actually whatever he predicted came true. But when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati got that letter, he became so angry, he rejected that sannyasa. So how do you understand that? So we have to be very much Krishna conscious to understand our acharyas and how they took. I'll give another example, that it's been recorded that Srila Prabhupada said that Tamal Krishna Goswami is not a Vaishnava. That's been recorded. So some people, they take that and they make this like, this is Prabhupada's total opinion of Tamal Krishna Goswami, without seeing all, everything else he said about him and how he engaged him in service and he trusted him in so many ways. So Prabhupada might have said that, and if he did, it's an extremely heavy statement. And for a disciple to be chastised so strongly by his guru means that, and take it, means that he's a very much trusted disciple, actually. Because you only strongly chastise those who can digest it. So one has to understand the mood and the heart of a Vaishnava. And if we take everything literally, then we may be misled. So some people are convinced that Prabhupada said Tamal Krishna Goswami is not a Vaishnava. See, that's the proof. But then others can see that he's accepted by Prabhupada. So he's so fortunate to be accepted for doing so many services in so many ways. So, yeah, research means we should go with our hands folded. Not like the materialistic researchers. They want to interpret everything in them. They presume that everyone, up to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishna himself, are like, they're materially motivated people, and whatever they did was for some material gain, because they can't think in any other way, because they themselves are so much in that mood. But if we understand that Krishna has his plans and he works through his devotees, and even someone may seem to be materially motivated, that they have association with a great acharya and they become objects of his mercy, means that they are worshipable to us. Just like Prabhupada said about one of his godbrothers, that Prabhupada was actually very critical of him in many ways. He said he was a materialist and so many things, one of his prominent godbrothers. But then when he passed away, I think 1975, some before Prabhupada, and then they asked, well, where did he go, Prabhupada? He was so envious and so materialistic, and Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. He said, well, how is that possible? He said, by the mercy of his Guru Maharaj. He served him all his life, one way or the other. So we should be a little careful on passing judgment on people who, from our perspective, it may seem like they're materialistic, but if you step back a bit and try to see what is Krishna's perspective, then Krishna, his tendency is to accept the good things that people do and maybe give some punishment for the things which are not so good, but that's forgotten very quickly. So one who's had the opportunity to engage in the service of Krishna and the acharyas, we should be very careful how we view. We should view with great respect that they had the opportunity to be directly, personally engaged by these great acharyas. That's how I'm writing this book on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Many of the personalities that are highly criticized, disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but who are we to criticize? I mean, they're all engaged in his service. Even one of them was so much criticized by others. One of his most intimate disciples later on, actually two of the most intimate and trusted disciples after Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur passed away, they were perceived as being deviants, and they actually spoke against Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and they had the opinion that he was too aggressive and his parampara line wasn't proper and so many things. They were rejected by everyone else up to this day. But then another of the prominent members of the Gauriya Math said that he was so instrumental in the pastimes of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and so had so much association with him that yes, he's committed some offense and he'll have to suffer for that, but in due course of time he will be accepted back again. So we should also think like that. We should be very careful to see the persons who have served Prabhupada, he's accepted their service. So Hare Krishna. We're over time. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Oh, by the way, if anyone's interested, I'm on Prabhupada's order, I'm writing some books. So I'm trying to, they're mostly written for devotees. So if anyone would like to see, I have some books available here. Hare Krishna.